I would hate for someone to start internalizing shame over their desire to step into the caretaker mentality because they're worried they're becoming people pleasers.
Welcome to Cowgirls Over Coffee, where we encourage and equip women to embrace the process and practice of tackling daily demands, actually executing on our plans, and taking action on the most audacious goals that we can come up with without sacrificing our peace and staying rooted in our purpose. These are conversations for doers, for those of us who refuse to settle for less than we absolutely know we are capable of achieving, for women who are cultivating thriving homes and businesses side by side. I'm your host, Thea Larson. Grab a coffee and sit down. We have so much to talk about.
This is another episode of Cowgirls Over Coffee, just a quick conversation between Meg and myself. I'm your host of Cowgirls Over Coffee, Thea Larson. I have Meg Scales with me today, and we just wanted to loop you in on the conversation that we were having. So a couple weeks ago, we had an episode where we were talking about prioritizing self, right?
Self-care. Like, it was, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, like, what it actually means to truly prioritize yourself, because I feel like self-care has become like almost its own little thing that you can't even take seriously. So I love that conversation. And we got a lot of feedback that people also really dug that conversation. So we're like, great. Super glad that you guys love our regular Thea and Meg just talking about the things. Like, we're so glad that you guys liked that because we liked it, but we don't know.
Great.
You're right.
I feel like we had coffee with like thousands of people.
Oh, it's like all my dreams coming to fruition. So grab a cup of coffee or whatever and sit down with us, because we're going to do it again. Because I had messaged Meg when I was listening to the podcast back, and I was like, I love what she said about being a caretaker and like what that meant in her role and just how that was affecting like what her expectations of were of herself and how that fit into the expectations that she wanted to, like how she wanted to fit those in with other people. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what a great conversation would be to build off of that is like being a caretaker versus being a people pleaser. Because I feel like there's been so much conversation and awareness around like, don't be a people pleaser, especially for women, right? Like, because definitely we don't want to be people pleasers. And like, what are the underlying reasons that we feel we need to do that? And why is it so predominant in women? And, you know, all of the rhetoric we've heard about that. But I almost feel like that has overshadowed the real experience and the value of the caretaker mentality. I think it would be interesting to talk about like, where is people pleasing? Like, where's the line between being a caretaker and being a people pleaser, right?
I think it's super fascinating too, because if you're listening to this podcast, you either live rurally or you have a rural heart. Yes. And Letty is also joining us today. You'll hear her in the background. She found her voice. The pterodactyl. It will not nap. but I think it's very interesting, like in the rural setting too, that this like notion of caretaker versus people pleaser. And I've been thinking a lot about this as I've been trying to navigate myself through calving, like this very extended calving season that we have this year. For anybody that's listening, we bought some cows that are later calving. So we literally, our first calf was born December 23rd. We will not be done calving until the 1st of May. It is like the like calving season from, you know what?
6 months of calving.
Awful. I mean, truly, it's like more like four, you know, because there's like light on either end. But
okay,
yeah, 6 a.m. heifer calved today. And our first heifer did calve on January 1st or December 31st this year. So I've been thinking a lot about this idea of like people pleasing versus caretaking in the rural setting, because as I've been navigating it this season, because I think it's like, it's just kind of a slippery slope, because in the rural community, like as your place as a woman, and this is not me talking like from a feminist perspective, this is talking about my individual experience. like we do have a very unique and special role as caretakers because your community relies on you more in a rural setting. Like there's a lot more, like I think about, you know, our school setting, for instance, all of the parents know each other. We look out for one another. If somebody's late, it's like you text and you're comfortable like with somebody else picking up. Like it's just, and I understand that not everybody has a situation that's talking on the phone, but like our community relies on us more, you know? So you do end up having more of a caretaker role as a woman in a small community, whether that's rural or entrepreneurial, right? And that you tend to play a very vital role in that ecosystem. It's not like just for the survival of your community. It's critical. And then if you go beyond the community and you look at like your family unit, for most of us that are listening, whether you have kids or you don't, like your family unit is reliant upon each other too. There is a survival mechanism that's involved there, especially as we talk about like weather or calving or jobs or little ones. Even if you don't have little ones, like your partner, or if you're, you know, someone that's young, that's, you know, helping with your elder parents and stuff, like there's more of an ecosystem there too. And again, as a woman, you end up playing this caretaker role because I think just biologically, the way that we're wired, we do have an interesting perspective on the world, an interesting role to be played in all of that. And I'll be the first to admit, like I'm a raging feminist. Like my husband expects me to be able to pull a calf and pull my weight. Like I'm the breadwinner in our family. Like he'll be the first to admit that. And I'm not saying that those two things go hand in hand, but as one point. So I think this season has really helped me reframe and think about the fact that caretaking actually is an integral part of who I am and a big part of my identity and an important mechanism in like my value system. And I am a people pleaser too. So it is like this very fine line for me as I'm walking as a type A perfectionist people pleaser that also happens to be a caretaker. Like where and how do those lines separate, and where, how critical the caretaker aspect is to my value set and my identity. And how people pleasing can actually be like a contradiction even to that, or like a point of friction against that.
Yes, 1,000%. And also as you're talking, I'm thinking about like the role of caretaker is one that is of equal value, right? Like,
oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? Like it's a very, and like a caretaker role is a high demand role that you're stepping into. Especially in, like you said, in your family unit and in your community, you're stepping into a role where, and caretaking isn't just, I think sometimes too, that's why I like the term caretaker that you even used over like homemaker, because I feel like that encompasses like part of caretaking is, yeah, I can pull a calf. And you know, like I can do that. I'd prefer to not be the one that has to do that when it's 30 degrees outside. Like, if
forever.
I can,
it stresses me out.
I'm happy to be the B string on that, like totally very, I can step in, like, but that's part of caretaking. And I think part of being in the caretaker role is also like you are like you're pinch hitting, right? Like that's a big, you know, part of the duties is you're the person who steps in when something needs to be taken care of. Like you're always available, you're always on standby, whether that's, you know, whatever the emergency situation is like that requires you, whatever the room of requirement.
Yeah, hard.
And I was just like, if we could, it's kind of like shifting a value, like a shifting of a cultural value on what it means to be like, I fully embody the role of like the traditional role of being a woman and a caretaker. And at the same time, same as you, like I am out there doing the thing too, making money, like owning a business, all of that stuff. And I value both of those things equally. Like I don't think of either of those roles. They're competing and they definitely have competing priorities. And that can be a struggle to manage that some days. But looking at that as not being as valuable, like if you, like, again, I guess this goes into, I didn't really, but like if you work from home or you stay in the home versus working outside of the home, neither of those is necessarily of less value. And I'm just thinking of it, if we are caretaking and we're taking, like, that means we're meeting the needs of other people. but not people pleasing? Is people pleasing almost weaponizing your role as caretaker in a way?
Yep. Can I share like a specific example for you that might help, like this moment that happened? As I share the story, I want everyone to understand, like, this is my individual experience. Like, we all have our own like traumas and baggage and perceptions of the world and family history and everything, right? So I had my daughter in the middle of calving, well, before we started calving. So I'm postpartum, trying to heal. I'm in fourth trimester. We hit negative 50 degree spell for like, what was it, 3 or 4 days. And then negative 30 felt like balmy after that for like a week. I physically couldn't even get her in the car to go feed because it was so cold in the car that she would scream her head off. Like, it wasn't safe for her. And yeah. It was really difficult for me because we were calving heifers at the time. God bless my mother-in-law. She lives in town and she came out every single day in coveralls and 17 layers to come help my husband, like literally keep our animals alive. And it killed me. And I think about, I had the same experience with Zane, my first. I mean, it, like, I would sob with Zane because it upset me so much that I couldn't be there to help. Well, with Letty, I was like, all right, this is what the deal is. My job is to keep my children safe and to keep my children warm and to support, to hold like the emotional rail guards of this difficult, like, I know this, we've been through this several times over, like, we can get through this. And I remember sitting, making lunch, which if anybody knows me, knows how much I despise cooking. Like, my aspiration when I graduated from college was to make enough money to hire a private chef because I do not like to cook. I have since healed my relationship with food a lot, which is another topic for another day. But I remember sitting there and being like, okay, how do I think about these meals? And then it just, like, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm like, this isn't just about me, like, holding the emotional guardrails or keeping my children safe. I can actually be a contributor here by helping ensure that everybody is warm and fed, that they have something that they can come back to. And it just was like this moment. I know that sounds super, super superficial, but like, I had this moment where I was like, I can be a caretaker in this role and play an instrumental role in ensuring the health and safety of my cattle by ensuring that everybody that's taking care of them physically is well fed and warm. Yes. And it made a huge difference that week by just every day. I cooked my freaking, you know what, off and made sure that we had warm meals as much as possible. Lots of protein. It was readily available. Like, I made it sure it was flexible, and gosh, it made a big difference. And so it like really hit me at that point. Being a caretaker can look different in different seasons. And being a caretaker also doesn't mean you directly have to be involved in order to have an impact. And so I've thought a lot about this as I've been, you know, considering my son's going into kindergarten this year, and we're getting involved more in the school system and, you know, volunteering and that type of thing. And it's like, I actually do have a responsibility as a caretaker in this community to get involved, to set the tone, to show an example. And we had like this, we have this big fundraiser that we do every year for, in the fall for his school. And I just remember looking around and being like, all of these people are showing up. Like, they are caretaking the community. Yes. And there are people that don't have kids, you know, in school and stuff. And I was like, this is my responsibility. Like, I may not get paid. It may be something that's like frustrating to me, but it is not people pleasing when I volunteer. It is. Letty agrees. She wholeheartedly agrees. No, so I know. Anyway, that's kind of a little bit of a tangent, but I think those are examples here of like places where I've been shifting and reframing my thinking, because like it is as my role in this community and in this family, in this season, it does look a lot different than what it, you know, than me physically being out tending to where I'd love to be right now. And can't necessarily be.
I think that is so. First of all, I'm like, yes. And I'm processing everything you just said because, well, we've had very similar life experiences. And I think that too, like what we see with the people who step into the roles of caretaker in the community, like that's what I love about, like, I love that about our community. I love that about our little town and our county and like how involved people. I thought I was from a small town because when I was growing up, I'm from Northern Idaho. There were like, you know, 5 or 6,000 people in our hometown. It's grown substantially. But then moving to rural Sand Hills of Nebraska. Like, it's been, I love the aspect of people looking out for each other. And like you said, people stepping into that role. But at home, and I'm thinking about this too, especially looking at caretaker. First of all, caretaker role for overachiever, never going to settle women. We want to fully, fully embody, right? Like, I stepped, it's so funny because I, no kidding, when I got pregnant with Oliver, I remember telling Jesse, like, yes, I'm going to be a mom. That is not going to be my identity. It is not going to be the thing I do. It's going to be a thing that I do. And the minute that kid came into the world, I was like, okay, this is priority number one, like everything else. And it was really hard to reconcile that, like, inherent. I was compelled. I was compelled to step into that role and put that first. But I still have this part of my own identity that is like, I want to do everything to the very best of my ability. I want to give my all. I want to fill in every single space. And so when you're talking about your kind of shift this spring, when you were like, okay, wait, this is just as important. Maybe the care, what defines caretaker versus people pleasing is the contribution. Like, caretaking is a substantial, valid contribution, whereas people pleasing is more of the perception of the contribution.
I was just going to say, it's almost like you have to honor the you have to be explicit with the expectations, because there are many times I tend to slip into the people-pleasing mode when I get stressed, which, hello, calving season, right in the middle of when caretaking is like at its highest for me. And it's like, okay, I can't tell you how many times I've done something and my husband didn't want help with that. Like, he's just like, what are you doing? You don't need to be out here killing yourself cleaning jugs right now. Like, go and sit down and tend to your work emails, or go take a shower. Like, you don't, which sounds ridiculous, but maybe it's because I stunk that bad. I think that there is like this dark side to, or like the shadow side, I should say, of caretaking is people pleasing. And people pleasing is when your ego gets in the way of the real why behind it. And you think that you know best what everybody else needs. That's what people pleasing is. And you can't, like, how can you possibly know what another person needs unless you ask, unless you, you know, continue to check in. And even then, like, you need to make sure, like, you're honoring your boundaries around that, because you shouldn't be doing something just because somebody asks or wants it. Like, you also need to make sure it fits and aligns with your values and your time and your resources. And if it all of that aligns, that's where caretaking comes in. That's where, like, the value and benefit of it is, right? There's a dark shadow side to it.
Oh, 100%. You know, I've also, like, one of the things that I think this is just bringing to life for me too is, like you were saying, like, Tyler was like, I don't need you to do this. Like, this is not something that is a requirement right now. You should be doing something else with your time. Like, and I love that, because I've also found, like, help that you don't want or don't need is not helpful. Like, often it's a setback. And I think, like, it's easy to, like, you're talking about the ego stepping into that. Like, you're like, oh, but I'm doing so much. Yeah, but you're actually hindering the process. Like, you're doing stuff that no one asked you to do. And you're actually, like, maybe someone didn't want you to do. And I think, like you said, that's kind of where we slide into that people pleasing. The other side of this conversation too is that I would hate for someone to start internalizing shame over their desire to step into the caretaker mentality because they're worried they're becoming people pleasers, right? And I think that's the flip side of the conversation is, like, you can totally, like, I want you to embody and, like, really love yourself and your identity in that caretaker mentality without shaming yourself, being like, oh, am I people pleasing? Am I just trying to? Because that's the other slippery side of it, right? Is, like, as long as you're having that awareness of yourself, like you said, it has to be in alignment with your values and your identity and the other people. Like, how can I step in? Like, it's coming with a servant's heart, I guess, is what I would say. Like, you're really stepping into it, being, trying to be of service to the outcome. You know, not even being in service to yourself or being in service to another person, but, like, to the desired collaborative outcome, whether that is having a great school system, having a ranch operation that is running smoothly, having a home that is happy and healthy and positive and nurturing. Like, all of those things are like your caretaker role is you're kind of being the COO or, you know, managing the operations around the whole of the environment and the whole of the experience and really lifting up those supports. And I think too, like, it's almost like there's these quote unquote productive activities, which, like, in what you were describing with calving season, the productive activities are like going out and feeding, pulling the calves, running the check. But what we might see as unproductive, quote unquote unproductive, is actually foundational and supportive, which is making sure everyone is able to have a good night's sleep, making sure everyone is well fed, all the home bases are covered. Like, you need the supportive activities just as much as you need the productive activities. And I think being a caretaker requires you to lean harder into the support system. And I think that's hard when you're used to being a producer. Like, I produce outcomes. Like, I would say that's probably very core to my identity, is that I produce outcomes. Come hell or high water, I'm going to produce outcomes. But I've had to settle into, and maybe that's part of motherhood too. For me, motherhood made me settle into a caretaker role and value my role of caretaker.
I think a big component of this, like, I'm listening to this thinking about, like, pre-baby me, and there are many of you that are listening that don't have children or never will have children, where caretaking looks different for you. Like, I certainly have been out feeding cattle, soaking abscesses on horses, like, what, you know, whatever, haying, you know, there's plenty of other things that I've done in that season. But I think it's important. It's critical. It's not just important, it's critical, and a responsibility as an individual in your ecosystem, whether it's your community or your family, to take an inventory of what your values are. What are the most important things for you? And to think about where you can have influence in that particular season of your life, whatever it is, children, not children, job, not job, whatever, calving, not calving. and it's just critical that you take an inventory of all of that against your, like, your value set, so that you can ensure that your caretaker roles, not your people pleasing roles, but your caretaker roles are aligned with that. Because I think there is also the slippery slope of there, then you can slide into these expectations. And certainly my husband and I have had many conversations around this, particularly, like, I've shared, I don't enjoy cooking around food. And it's like, I'm just like, you just expect food to be on the table. And he's like, I don't. I'm like, I feel like it. And so it's like, at certain points in the season, it's just like, okay, how do I start to shift some of these expectations, have these conversations? What are the values, you know, in this moment? And where does my role as a caretaker in this ecosystem sit today?
And I think, well, that comes back to, we always say, like, there's only five answers to literally all of the questions. And this is just like the check-in, right? The check-in, the self-awareness, the circling back, managing, like you said, what are the expectations of myself for myself? What are my perceived expectations versus what other people's expectations are that matter to me? What are the values right now? Because those things are always changing. Like, expectations and values are constantly shifting. We need to adjust around those. And I think that's where we get to this point where we're like, oh, if I could just figure out, like, my perfect morning routine, right, then everything's going to fall into place. And I think the same thing can be said. You're like, oh, if I could just stop people pleasing, if I could just quit people pleasing, or if somebody else would just quit people pleasing, that would solve all the problems. And I feel like that's just, again, it's always shifting. It's a dynamic situation. And I would say I don't have a good awareness around whether or not I'm a people pleaser. Because if you ask me, I would say, no, I'm not a people pleaser. But I don't know that that's necessarily... My sister is here visiting and she just gave me major side eye. So I'm thinking that maybe, like, huge side eye. She's been deliberately not paying attention to our conversation. And that was like, anyways. So apparently I am a people pleaser and I need to do some awareness work around that.
I plus one that. Yep. You're a people pleaser.
Ah, really? Okay.
It's all on a continuum too, right?
I know.
Like, I would say if we're comparing you and me, like, I'm way further on the spectrum of people pleasing than you are.
Okay. So now we have an entire, like, mapping out a spectrum of people pleasing, because that sounds like fun to me, actually. But no, I just, it's like so many things, I feel like the conversation comes around to, like, what starts as, like, with the intention of awareness and development and, you know, mitigating a behavior that is not beneficial to you or supportive, like, okay, let's not people please. Then it becomes like, it's very easy to slide right into shame, right? Like I said before, like, you can slide right into the shame. And I think I've had, for me, that was for a long time, just embracing part of my identity as being in a role of caretaker. Like, instead of just, you know, I don't know what else would be like, production, outcome, accomplishment. That doesn't happen without a caretaking component. So I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. Again, all the questions, none of the answers. I feel like I've gone around in six circles trying to reconcile these two things. I just thought it was so interesting when you had brought up like this caretaker mentality. And I immediately thought, like, that's so cool. I love the idea of caretaker.
Oh, yay. I'm glad. Well, on that note, my little pterodactyl says that it's time for me to take care of her. So thanks everyone for having a cup of coffee with us today and having a conversation. It's always fun to chat and to explore these with everyone.
Yeah. And if you listen to this and you have any thoughts or clarity around this, or if you just had like a moment where you're like, holy crap, apparently I am a people pleaser, that could be fun. But yeah, if you have any takeaways or questions or thoughts that popped up or that you want to share with us, screenshot this, tag at Cowgirls Over Coffee, share it in your stories. I really want to keep this conversation going. And I hope that we can have more conversations like this just to explore these ideas of how we feel about ourselves and our identity and our expectations and how that fits into our roles. Just across the board as women, because this is just such a unique, I feel like so many of us, like you said, you either live a rural lifestyle or you have a rural heart. I think it's a very unique, high demand situation that we are in as women. And I think more conversations about some of these harder, more complicated subjects will just help us all out in the long run. So anyways, let us know what you think. Otherwise, we'll see you back here next week.
Thank you so much for spending part of your day with me. If you had any aha moments or some questions came up, please hit us up in your Instagram stories. Just take a screenshot, share that, tag us at Cowgirls Over Coffee, and let's keep this conversation going. Otherwise, we'll see you back here next week. And just thank you again. Go out and make it the best week ever.